You are listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We believe that Jesus came to set you free and nothing can cancel the truth of God's word. Now here's your host, the youth pastor of Impact Youth at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, Pastor Joey Santora.
What is going on, Uncanceled? How are you guys doing? Thank you so much for tuning. That really wasn't a voice crack. That was kind of just me being
dumb. No, you did
it.
Did you see my clap? I threw the mic up and clapped and caught it.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that. Love that. All right, so listen, a couple of things that you guys need to know about the podcast. We are going to change things up a little. So Wire to Wire, which is me and Ben's new sports podcast, is no longer going to be a segment. It's going to be its own podcast. Why? Because if people don't really want to listen to that, I don't want them to have to skip through a bunch of stuff to be able to get to it. Plus, me and Ben will talk for like 30 minutes about sports on the sports pod. You can listen to it while you're in the gym. You can listen to it if you're just looking for something a little bit different. There will be rarely a spiritual component to it. It's not like meant to be that. Maybe if something comes up where, like, you know, sports and Christianity collide a little bit, we'll talk about that likely because it would just make sense to, right? Yep. But if it's just like about a game or whatever, don't go to listen to it and be angry because there was no spiritual benefit to your time or whatever. Right. This is for your spiritual benefit. And so is like all the other resources that we have. But this is not really spiritual, what we're about to do right now. Me and Ben, we made a decision.
Yeah.
I feel like you kind of are with me on the decision. I feel like you're going to start to do something different too with it.
I am. I think that you should probably like explain yourself.
Yeah.
And then I'll hop on.
I am going to call him and see if it works this time.
Wow. This, you know.
Calling David Costa. Let's see if he answers. Be funny if he answered with something crazy.
More editing for me.
Not getting a good feel here. Man, what are you, my wife,
two
David?
2 weeks in a row.
My wife is a wonderful woman, but she struggles to answer the phone sometimes. Yeah, I think he's out. Yeah, I think he's out. Anyway, I'm just going to tell you then. Would have been great if he picked up the phone. Wait.
Number. There you go. Yep.
Good call. Imagine he just gets prank called by everybody at Impact. But anyway,
if he doesn't pick up next week, David, we are giving your number.
Yeah, we're
out.
Giving it out, bro. You're done. So basically, David talked to me a little bit about energy drinks and how they just weren't really good for you. And like a lot of things aren't good for you in life and stuff like that. And I get that. I may occasionally still have an energy drink, but I've kind of decided to cut back on them. Because I was like, I was drinking like 3 a week, like honestly.
Were you? I was probably around 2.
Yeah.
Well, I was around like 1.5. I would have 1 on Wednesdays and then 1 on Woke It Fridays.
Okay. I would have 1 on Wednesdays. I'm still probably going to drink pre, which is technically an energy drink in a sense.
Everything's bad for you,
Everything's bad for
Listen.
You. It's just that I'm going to cut back.
Right.
And with that being said, it would not be great for me to do a segment called Rate That Monster, being that we're trying to cut back on
energy
drinks.
That's what we were going to do. We were going to, like a little transition from energy drinks to just Monster, but then this came up. I mean, listen, agreed, you know. Obviously, energy drinks are
bad for you.
No,
not good for you.
So, you know, we'll cut back.
But at the same time, if you see me drinking an energy drink again, like, don't be surprised. It's not like it's never going to happen again. But, like, I'm going to cut back. The same way that you're not supposed to drink soda a lot. Ben doesn't drink soda at all. But the same way you're not supposed to drink soda a lot, you're not supposed to eat candy a lot, you're not supposed to have all... Like, candies can't be good for you. Gummy candy can't
Absolutely
be good for
not.
You. Absolutely not. Like, I don't eat gummy candy every single day of my entire life. Like, that's not good for you.
The reality is, we were talking about this. A lot of what's in our food in America is just not
Very
good.
Bad. And it makes me upset.
Yeah, it's upsetting.
Like,
why,
there's
why
no
does
reason
to be that way.
There's no reason that I should go to like another country in Europe, which I haven't, which I will this summer, but which I haven't, and get Kraft mac and cheese and it's not yellow because they take out certain food dyes. Why do we have, do you know where Red 40 comes from? I just found this out the other day.
Oh, gosh, no.
Red 40 comes from insects. And we don't have the gene to be able to digest the stuff Red 40 is made of. And so they, like animals, like certain animals do. And so, yeah, Red 40 is is disgusting. Don't tell me. Just, I know it's in it. Red 40 is in everything. Yellow 5 or red 40 is in every single thing that you could probably possibly have.
We're good.
There's no shot.
No, yeah, we're good.
Arizona, good for you.
Well, you just said what we're doing.
Yellow 5 and red 40 is not good for you. And I would be fine. I don't know about you, Ben. I'd be fine if they replace dyes with, if they want to make something color, because I get it. Like, you want your Skittles to be a different color. You don't want them to all be white or whatever. But, like, I think it is more than fair for you to just use a little bit of juice in those certain flavors to flavor and color them. And they might not be totally red, but even if they're just a little bit red, I don't care if it doesn't look as good. I don't want to eat that.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is that those that think this way are just in the vast minority.
I feel like, is that really true?
I think it's true. I mean, you grab 100 Americans off the street, I bet 6 of them actually care about what's in the food.
I am going to we should do it at Impact. We should do a poll and ask everybody what they think. I'm curious.
I mean, especially students, they just eat.
Yeah, they do. Anyway, enough about Red 40. Yeah. I already kind of ruined it, but we decided to go in a different direction. Something that I'm going to start drinking instead of drinking energy drinks. So I'm going to drink teas because teas have caffeine in them.
Yeah, so this is not really. Yeah,
but like it's still like it's
even
something.
Even the normal. Should we just let's
well,
do
the
it.
Normal the one that I like has 60 milligrams of caffeine.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's pretty good.
Yeah. So anyway, it is time to
rate that. Arizona.
Here we go. Ooh, Arizona.
Arizona. Wait,
let's try that again. I kind of liked the mellowness of that. Let's try that again. Here we go. You don't have to edit it or anything. Okay. Ready? It is time to rate that. Arizona.
Oh, okay.
That was good. That was good. Tell us what we got today, Ben.
All right. So can I do like a minute on my relationship with Arizona?
Yeah, you probably should.
Listen.
I'm on my phone.
I'm slightly concerned that this will cause me to relapse because I'm kidding, obviously. But I used to drink so much Arizona. Like it was an issue, and I didn't even really know it was an issue. But this was like water to me. I could drink one of these and then go to sleep 5 minutes later. Like it was not really a thing. Here's really where it came from. I used to work at Walgreens, and these were always either 99 cents, often 2-for-1. And so I would grab two and drink both through the course of an 8-hour shift of work. And then I'd go home, and I'd have more. And
what else did you have while you worked at Walgreens?
Y'all, I'm not proud of it. I really, like, I don't know how. I didn't have, like, anything in my mind about calories. Didn't even essentially know that they existed. And so I would have two of these and not this flavor, but two of these and like 1 to 2 bags of combos, which two bags of each bag is like 800 calories, I think. So, I mean, right there, I'm looking at an easy 2,200 calories from
nothing.
Snacks, like literally nothing.
Ben dropped 60 big boy pounds.
I sure did. So,
actually, though, like, no, seriously, actually, that's not a joke. That's serious.
I used to weigh 250, I went down to 190. Now I'm back up because I bulked. But
that's pretty impressive,
down.
Man. So, thanks, seriously, man. That weight loss is really impressive.
Thanks, man. It was necessary. needless to say, I drank quite a bit of this, and I love it. I really don't have it often at all anymore, but man,
this
I love
is the
Arizona.
Cocktail version.
Yeah, I've
of
never
it.
Had this one,
so let's try it out.
Yeah, so
what's the flavor?
It's tropical chill zone, chillzicle.
It's a rocket pop.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. But like, man, this has 280 calories and 67 grams of sugar.
Yet. We're going to try this one when it gets back, when Cumbies restocks. Cumbies has, for some reason, ran out of stock recently, I've noticed. They're getting, I think they have to get a new shipment. And they have an Arizona that is a strawberry lemonade with tea. and it's only 130 calories and like 25 grams of sugar, I think, which is still not great, but like it's not nearly as bad as 67 for, and that's for the can too.
Yeah.
There we go. Take me to Arizona.
Oh. My favorite, just so that it's on record, is the raspberry one.
Whoa.
I used to have so many of those. That was so good.
I just hold it on the tablecloth. Yeah. Oh, I was about to. Yeah.
Look at the color. It's peachy colored.
Yeah, it doesn't really smell like.
Why does it look like there's pulp? Look at that. You see that? Look. Look, look, look.
It looks like there's pulp. Should I answer?
Yeah. I think you should.
You're a day late and a dollar short, bro. I'm on the podcast right now.
No way.
Yeah, dude. This is everybody. This is David. He's hopping in here right now. I was telling him how I didn't even get to tell you yet, bro, because you were at graduation yesterday. But I quit energy drinks, bro.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's anointed.
That is. Yeah. That is anointed. I quit energy drinks, but like I'll be honest with you, when I say quit, I'm not going to drink them nearly as much as I used to. I may have one occasionally, but not nearly to the degree I was having them before.
Okay. I'll do some research and look into some healthier ones for you.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I'm also. We changed our segment to rate that Arizona, so we're not doing. Yeah. Yeah.
He likes that.
I know you like that, man. Bro, you should come to my house tonight. Are you going to come?
Tonight?
Yeah.
What's going on tonight?
Bible study at my house, and then the Rangers. And then there's a hockey game on. The Rangers are playing, and then the Timberwolves play the Nuggets. So.
Hey, I heard you.
Yes, sir. All right, bro.
I'll be there.
I'll talk with you.
I'll see you later.
See you later, bro. Bye. That was a fun conversation.
That was good. That was good.
Great. I love people that don't overtalk.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
We could have been on the phone way longer, but he got it. Okay. Here we go. Thanks, David. Love you. All right, that's a little weird.
It tastes like juice, which like
it does have pulp.
It's weird.
It's really smooth. Like really smooth.
Yeah. It's I honestly don't know if I've ever had one of the Arizona juices. I've just been a tea guy.
What do you think?
I think it's good.
I think it's good.
Yeah.
I'm not like incredibly amazed. It doesn't
taste. It tastes like a Rocket Pop?
I think it tastes nothing like a Rocket Pop.
I think it tastes kind of like a Rocket Pop.
I've had a lot of Rocket Pop drinks.
Yeah.
Like a lot. And this is the least Rocket Poppy drink. What you looking at?
Just the ingredients to see like maybe why it has pulp. It has pear juice from concentrate.
See, I like that. I like that that's in it. That's good.
You want me to tell you something bad
no,
that's in it?
No.
Okay.
Actually, yeah, sure, why not?
The high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah, like why? Why?
Pear juice from concentrate, pineapple juice from concentrate, orange juice from concentrate, cherry juice from concentrate, mango puree. Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe that's what it is.
It's not bad, though.
It's not bad. It's all right. I mean, I'd drink the whole thing if it wasn't 300 calories, but me and Ben are, I don't even know if me or Ben are going to have another sip of this, to be honest with you, when this is over. It's not worth the calories. I don't really want to drink it, but.
Are you surprised that there's so much sugar in this?
Yeah, it's not that
taste
sweet.
So sugary. Interesting.
The strawberry lemonade tea one, it tastes more sugary than this.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. Oh, you've had the strawberry lemonade
one? I've had it.
It's pretty good, right?
Yeah, I haven't had it in a while.
But it's nice. I was talking to this guy at Cumbie's. He was like very weird, and he was a worker there, and I walked up with it. And I felt a little bad for him because I could definitely tell that he was like an alcoholic and stuff. And he was like, and I felt bad for him because he's bound by that, spiritual. But he was like, you know, down at the liquor store down the road, they have this amazing flavor of this. It's the same thing, but it has alcohol in it. It's so good. And I just looked at him and was like,
"Tell that he was an alcoholic."
Kidding. Yeah. And he just looked at me and I just looked at him and went, "Oh, cool." Didn't want it with the alcohol in it. I'm all set. It tastes fine without it. Thanks, though.
This is bad enough for you.
Yeah, that was probably pretty weird. Somebody could clip that, and that would be funny if somebody... So do me a favor. If somebody's watching this and you want to have a funny clip of me, that would be the clip. Anyway, I'm ready to rate it out of 10. We're really rating it on... Let's rate it on trueness to its flavor and just like how it compares to other Arizonas and stuff. Or do we just want to do how it compares to other Arizonas without the trueness to the flavor?
I think trueness to the flavor should be a factor.
Okay. All right. I have a rating for it then.
I think I do too.
Okay. Would you drink the entire thing?
I would.
Yeah, I would too. But I wouldn't because of the sugar. But I would. Just right. Like, yeah, I would. So it's over a 5.
Yep.
What would you say trueness to the flavor out of 10?
I don't think it's incredibly rocket poppy, but I can like taste it. So I would give it somewhere around a 5 or 6.
I would give it just a 5, just straight up. And then I would give it a 6.5 out of 10 because I don't love it, but it's okay. So at the end of the day, that's leaving me around. I guess I'll give it a 6.
Yeah, I was at a 6.5. Solid.
Yeah, it was solid. Thanks for joining us for Rate That Arizona. That went really long, but at this point, it's time for you to go to the Bible study. Well, guys, thank you so much for tuning into the Uncancelled podcast. At this point, now it becomes spiritual. There was no biblical basis to anything that we just talked about. With Rate That, but now it's time to get into the Word of God today. Today I want to talk to you about something that the Lord kind of spoke to me through His Word as I was reading in James chapter 2. And it's something I actually talked about it with my leaders last night. But it's understanding biblical partiality and favor. Understanding biblical partiality and favor. Can I tell you that there is a difference between favoritism and favor? The word partiality is referring to showing someone a certain amount of, I guess you could say favoritism, or showing somebody a certain amount of favoritism, even if they've, well, I'll get into that in a second. Go to Romans chapter 2, verse 11. Romans chapter 2, verse 11. I'm not going to turn there because it's very easy. It says, "For God shows no partiality." God shows no partiality. Here is what many people miss when it comes to God not showing partiality to people. They think that this means that God doesn't show favor to any one person over someone else. But that's actually not what the scripture teaches. What this is actually communicating is what God will do for one person, if they act in accordance with His word, is the same that He will do for someone else that acts in accordance with His word. It is not saying, actually, I want to go to Romans 2 real quick. It's not saying that some people will not receive more favor from God. What I don't want you to take away from this is that God has favorites in the sense that He, you know, likes some people more than other, and it doesn't really matter what they do. He just likes them better. That's not what I'm trying to communicate to you right now. Romans chapter 2. Yeah, there it is. Amen. I knew that was there. Romans chapter 2, verse 6. Let's read there. It says, "He will render to each one according to his works." According to his works. "To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, He will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey righteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek. For God shows no partiality." What is the context of this text? The context of this text is very clear. Notice how it says at the beginning of the test, "He will render to each one according to his works." He will render to each one according to his works. And then at the end of that text, it says, "For God shows no partiality." In other words, if I do something, If I do something and someone else does something, if we do the same thing, God will treat us the same way. But if I do something that is disobedient to God's word and someone else does something that is obedient to God's word, it should be no surprise that the favor comes to somebody who is obedient to God's word, and there is no favor to somebody who is disobedient to God's word. How do I know that this is really what it's saying? Because it clearly even says in the verse, it says he will render each one according to his works to those who by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality. He will give eternal life. In other words, those who seek what is godly, they will receive eternal life. But watch this. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you come from a family that has money or doesn't have money. It doesn't matter if you come from a Italian family or a Brazilian family. None of that stuff matters. What matters is the way that you act. If you act in accordance with God's word, you'll be blessed. If you don't act in accordance with God's word, you won't be blessed, because God does not show partiality. But you can do things to provoke the favor of God. Watch this. The people that do seek to do what is honoring to God, they provoke the favor of God, and they'll have eternal life. Those who do not obey the word of God, they will not have the favor of God, and they won't inherit eternal life. How do I know for a fact that some people can receive more favor from God based on different actions that they do? Well, I'll give you an example of this. First, the Bible says that God gives more grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. So who gets more grace? The humble get more grace. The humble get more grace. So if I'm humble, I will receive more grace in my life than somebody who is prideful. That scripture literally means that God pushes away the proud. He pushes them away. He resists them. But he gives more grace to the humble. So if I want to see the favor of God on my life in a greater way, I should humble myself before God. And when I humble myself before God, there will be more grace on my life, and I will be exalted because of it. So there are things that you can do that you will see more favor on your life that because you do them. Go to Genesis chapter 4. Go to Genesis chapter 4. I'll give you an example of a specific instance in the Bible where somebody received more favor. I'm trying to show you something here. God shows no partiality. If I do the same thing as somebody else, God will treat me the same exact way as the person that did that thing. It doesn't matter who I am, or in terms of, like, you know, my heritage or like where I'm from. None of that stuff matters. I've heard people say things like, well, you know, Christians in America, you know, when they talk about that prosperity message and stuff like that, tell that to the people in Africa. Okay, I will tell it to the people in Africa. And when I do, watch and see, as they'll prosper too. Because what some Christians fail to realize, and people that even read the Bible fail to get through their head, is that God's word works, and he shows no partiality no matter where somebody is from. It makes no difference. It makes no difference if someone's from Africa or if somebody's from America. If you do what God's word says, it'll work, because God shows no partiality. You know, I know somebody that went and preached in an island place that was very poor. And he went and he preached the gospel to them. They got saved, and he preached them about finance and prosperity. And he told them about how prosperity and finances works. And they were very, very poor, a very, very, broken down area. He came back 5 years later, and they had this beautiful community that was looked like it had been totally changed. I forget everything that was said that was in it, but it was beautiful. There was a bunch of like houses. There were a bunch of built up areas. And what had happened is they had taken the message of prosperity from the word of God and applied it to where they were in Africa. And when they applied, or it wasn't Africa, it was an island somewhere. And they applied it and they prospered because of it, because God does not show partiality. His word works everywhere. His word works everywhere. Can you say amen? Praise God. His word works everywhere. God does not show partiality, but you can provoke the favor of God. People think that those two things are contradictory statements. They're not. God not showing partiality and God showing favor to some people are not contradictory statements. And I hope that you could see that by now. Genesis chapter 4, beginning in verse 3, says, in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the first born of his fruit, or of his flock, and their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. What am I trying to show in this scripture? God showed favor to one over somebody else. But God did not show favoritism in this text or partiality in this text. What do you mean, Pastor Joey? Let me explain. God did show somebody favor in this text, but he did not show partiality. He showed favor to Abel because Abel brought God his very best offering. He brought God the first of his flock. Cain brought something that didn't mean anything to him. It was nice and it was, yeah, here's some fruit or whatever. It was nice, but it didn't really mean anything for him. And so God rejected Cain's offering, but he showed favor to Abel's offering. He showed favor to Abel's offering. So God showed favor to one and not to the other. But watch what God says to Cain so clearly. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not also be accepted? If you do well, will you not also be accepted? See, God, this text perfectly summarizes what I'm saying. God showed favor to Abel because he did the right thing and he did what was obedient to God's word and honoring to him. But God said to Cain, if you do the same thing as him, I'll treat you the same way. This perfectly demonstrates partiality versus favor and how they coincide with each other. If you want to be blessed in the way that you see other people of God being blessed, then find out what they're doing according to the word of God and act in accordance with the word of God and watch and see as your life will be blessed in the same way. People see others get blessed sometimes and they become envious and jealous of a blessing that somebody else gets. But what they fail to realize is everything that went into them getting to the point where they're blessed. I've had people, should I say this? I'll use somebody else. I'll use a different illustration. I've heard of people that become envious of other people in life because they have something. Well, you have a really nice house or you have a really nice car and I just don't get why you have it and I don't. And maybe God doesn't like me and he likes you. Maybe it's just because God's showing favorites. Well, the Bible says he doesn't show favoritism. So, you know, people get all grumpy and stuff. But what they don't realize is what that person has done to get to the level in which they are at now. The Bible says, be faithful in the little and you'll be given much more. Those people that God has blessed them, they have been faithful in the little. And you don't even know how much time that they were faithful in the little. I think of ministers right now off the top of my head that I can think of. I can think of Pastor Jonathan Shuttlesworth, pastor and evangelist Jonathan Shuttlesworth. When he first started in the ministry, him and his wife really didn't have much. They say they barely had enough money to put gas in their car to get to their services to preach. And they lived by faith every single day. They continued to live according to the word of God. They honored God. They gave. They continued to tithe. Even though they barely had anything, they still continued to tithe and be faithful to God's word. Now, Pastor Jonathan has been given a million-dollar home. People, why does he have a $1 million home? Did you not hear what I just said? He was faithful in the little. He lived according to God's word. And now God has shown him favor because he was faithful to his word. God doesn't look at him and go, oh, I'm going to show partiality towards him and he's the only one that's going to get blessed. No, God said, if you listen to my word, I'll show anybody favor. If you listen to my word, I'll treat you the same way as somebody else. If you want to see the favor of God in your life, work the word of God. Instead of getting angry when somebody else is being blessed, why not turn around and say, man, What did they do to get to the point that they're at? I want to learn. I want to learn from them. And I want to learn according to the word of God what they did. And I want to do it in my life. And watch and see as your life will be blessed as well. Watch and see as you'll be blessed in your life as well. Don't become jealous of someone else's favor. Instead, change your actions or continue in your actions depending on what you're doing. You know, Abel, he gave a good offering to the Lord. Cain did not. God even instructs Cain with exactly what I'm saying right now. Cain, why are you so upset? Just do the right thing. Cain, instead of getting upset at the favor that Abel was shown, he could have simply just changed his actions and had the same favor come upon him. God said, will you not be accepted as well? He would have had the same favor if he just would have changed his actions. Very simple. It wasn't that hard. But instead, Cain remained jealous. And he remained jealous, and he ended up killing his brother in this text, and the first murder in the Bible takes place. Why? The first murder in the Bible takes place out of jealousy of somebody else having the favor of God on their life. Jealousy of someone else having the favor of God on their life. And not only that, but also just stubbornness towards the Lord, because the Lord was the one who, the Lord came to him and said, hey, why don't you just do this? Don't be jealous of other people's blessing. Instead, rejoice. Rejoice with them for their blessing. The Bible says in Romans 12, 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. You need to rejoice with those who rejoice. And mourn with those who mourn is a topic for another day. I won't get into that right now. But rejoice with those who rejoice. If somebody just got blessed and they're rejoicing over it, rejoice with them. Where did you get the money to be able to do that? Really? Really? They're talking about how God has blessed them, and you want to know how they got the money to be able to do it in a critical way, not in a celebratory way. You're supposed to say, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Praise God. How did this happen? That's very different. Very different. Comes from a different place in the heart. Oh, cool. Well, I think it just, you know, was like, you know, luck of the draw. I remember when me and my wife, we bought our house. Our house came fully furnished. We asked the people, hey, can we have your furniture? Like $30,000 worth of furniture, probably. They were like, you know, and you know, it was a shot in the dark, but they were like, yeah, sure. We just so happened to be moving to North Carolina. So yeah, you can have our furniture. It'd be easy for us anyway. People that have a natural mind think like this. They say, well, you know, it was because they were moving to North Carolina and stuff like that. It just made sense for them to leave the furniture. That's people that have natural minds. People that have supernatural minds and understand the leading of the Lord see it like this. Wow, that was the favor of God. Well, how is that the favor of God? Well, what you don't know is me and my wife probably looked at over 30 houses, and we didn't settle for any of them. We kept on looking and kept on looking and kept on looking. And finally, we found a house that had been on the market for a really long time, which usually means there's something wrong with it, especially in the market we were buying in, where houses were selling within 3 days. And it had been on the market for over 90 days. And somebody had tried to buy the house and it didn't go through. And it was a whole thing and stuff. And so it was just crazy, because it was like that one house, the house that we chose, just so happened to be the house that we were going to have fully furnished. Just so happened to be the house that was the perfect location and place for us. That's the hand of God and the favor of God. And so I remember people, when we had furniture, our house was fully furnished. And the Bible says that you'll inherit houses full of good things. So this is actually part of the Bible too. But, you know, people, well, you know, that's nice, but you know, it's just, you know, it just made sense for them. And they talk very naturally. Oh, how did that? Oh, okay. It happened like that. They don't see any like favor. They don't see anything from the Lord on it. And they almost become envious that it happened for you. And it's like, hold on 1 second. You have to understand that there was seed that was sown for that house. You have to understand that there was seed that was put in the ground for that. We worked the word of God. We lived according to the word of God, and God blessed us because of it. And the same thing can happen to you. Let me encourage some of you that are watching right now. Maybe there's some young adults that are about to get married watching, or a couple that is looking for a house that is watching. If you're believing God for a house, can I encourage you? The same thing will happen for you. If you do the same thing that I did and work the word of God and live according to the word of God, watch and see as the same thing will happen to you in Jesus' mighty name. It'll happen for you. It'll happen for you because God does not show partiality. What he does for one, he'll do for another. You can provoke the favor of God on your life. Don't be a Cain, be an Abel. Somebody that does things according to the word of God. Yeah. Be someone that does things according to the word of God. Don't be like Cain and get jealous. You know, my friend Evangelist Wesley said this: you can't pray away a bad harvest. You can only sow different seed. You can't pray away a bad harvest. You can only sow different seed. If you sow something, it's going to come back to you, because the Bible says that that whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So whatever I sow, I'm going to reap. If I'm a jerk to people and I treat people with disrespect, I should not be surprised when people treat me with disrespect as well. Even if I realize my mistake and that I've treated people with disrespect, I cannot pray that away. I can only begin to sow different seed and start to treat people with respect. Does that make sense? Well, you can't answer me, but I hope that that makes sense to you what I'm saying. You can't pray away a bad harvest. You can only sow different seed. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And if you rejoice with those who rejoice, they'll rejoice with you when it's time for you to rejoice. But really what provoked this thought process was James chapter 2, verse 1. James chapter 2, verse 1 really provoked this for me. James chapter 2, verse 1. I'm getting there. There we go. The Bible says, "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, 'You sit here in a good place,' while you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there,' or 'Sit down at my feet,' have you not made a distinction among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" What is this text talking about? Well, the Bible says God shows no partiality. And if we want to be like God and act like God, then in the sense that we want to be imitators of Christ, then we should not show partiality towards people either. Now, in the same way that we can provoke favor with God by things that we do according to his word, people sometimes can provoke favor with us by the things that they do. Like if a student is paying attention and taking notes in my youth group, I'm going to pay more attention to that student because they have provoked favor by paying attention. But if somebody's crossing their arms and putting their head down and going to sleep, I'm not going to spend as much time investing into them, because I'm going to invest into somebody that actually wants to learn and actually wants to listen to me, instead of trying to talk to somebody that doesn't care about what I have to say. So that's where the distinguishing comes in, where there is a difference between partiality and somebody getting favor based on the way that they live and act according to the word of God. But we should not show partiality towards people. If somebody is hungry for God and, you know, they come from a poor family in our church, I'm not going to treat them any differently than somebody that comes from a rich family in the church that is hungry for God. Why? Because God shows no partiality. It makes no difference to me whether somebody comes from a poor or rich family. You know, we don't have seating at Impact where we reserve certain seating for people that, you know, look better or talk or you know, look better or, you know, come from a better educational background or go to a better school or have a better grade point average. We don't do that type of stuff. We don't do that type of stuff. We should not be showing partiality to people. You know, I'll tell you an example of this. I was at an event with a ministerial event. I won't say where, but I was with my friend Evangelist Wesley, and this guy came up to that was a minister came up to talk with Evangelist Wesley, and I was sitting right next to him, and he came up and he knew that I was with Evangelist Wesley, and we were sitting together. We were the only people really around. And he comes up and he starts having a full conversation with Evangelist Wesley and all this stuff. And if you don't know who that is, my friend Wesley Augrey, he's an evangelist, great guy, great man of God, great friend. But you should actually follow his ministry if you haven't already. You can follow his YouTube channel, Wesley Augrey. That's A-G-G-R-E-Y. And follow him on Instagram too. He's a great guy. But anyway, he was with me. And at the time, I wasn't really, and not that I'm really like this, you know, big shot now or anything like that. I'm not saying that by any means. But at the time, nobody had any idea who I was there. I had just became a youth pastor. Nobody was familiar with my ministry or anything like that. And people were familiar with Evangelist Wesley's ministry. And so this guy comes up to him, starts talking to Wesley, you know, having these full conversation, laughing with him, whatever. And then he goes and he walks away and he kind of just ignores me and glares at me as he walks away. And I looked at my friend and I was just like, what was up with that? And what I realized, well, actually, let me continue the story because it gets better. A couple years went by though. And now I've, you know, established myself a little bit more as a youth pastor. I'm not saying by any means that I've arrived. Everything that's happened at Impact Youth is to the glory of God. We praise God for everything that's happened. We put on some great events and stuff like that. And by the grace of God, they've been excellent. So I'm not by any means trying to sound prideful or arrogant in saying this. But, you know, I've done some more things. People know me a little bit more now, not super well, but just a little bit more now. And, this guy now all of a sudden has an interest in talking to me the next time that he sees me. And all I could think to myself was, really, now you want to have a conversation with me? Like, seriously? And what that was is that was showing partiality. It was because at the time he didn't think I mattered. And now all of a sudden he thinks that I matter, and so he's going to talk to me. That's partiality. You should be kind to everybody. You should be kind to everybody, even people that are new to Christianity, even people that aren't on the worship team at your church, even people that don't preach, even people that don't do announcements, even people that just normally attend the church, even the greeters at the door. We should show kindness to every single person. We should be friendly to every single person that we encounter and that we meet as Christians, because God does not show partiality. We should treat people the same way if they do the same. That's a good way to put it. All people should be treated the same if they do the same. And what I don't mean by that is I don't mean the same in the sense that if they preach or if they, you know, are on the worship team. I mean that if somebody, you know, is attending church or somebody is a part of the church and they're involved and, you know, they're there, you know, you should be, you know, you should treat them with the same respect that you treat to anybody else. You shouldn't act as though that, you know, how do I want to put this? You shouldn't act as though that somebody is a piece of dirt just because they're only a greeter at the church. Now, I do understand the Bible says that ministers are to be treated with double honor. I understand that there is a certain level of honor that should be given to certain ministers, but that doesn't mean that you should treat other people with dirt, like dirt. As Christians, we have to be very careful that we don't have a superiority complex and we act like we're better than everybody else. I've been on the worship team for a year. They've been on the worship team for a month. Who cares? Who cares? Great. So you're going to act like you're better than somebody else because you've been on the worship team for that long and you're going to treat them like dirt? I've been youth pastor at this church for this long. I have this many kids in my youth group, so I'm better. Really? Really? We're going to act like that and play that game? Partiality. God hates that stuff. God hates that stuff. That stuff is unacceptable. Again, I understand honor. I understand that if somebody who has done great things in the ministry were to be before me, I would treat them with a certain level of respect and honor. But that doesn't mean that if I met somebody that was just starting in the ministry that I treat them like dirt. Doesn't mean that I do that. I treat them with kindness and respect as well. Amen. 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 I'm trying to figure out if I want to go further with this. Your role in the body of Christ is very important. The Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 12, it's talking about spiritual gifts here, but it teaches us a principle that I think is important. it says, you know, that who is basically talking about different parts of the body of Christ. And it's like, who is the eye to say to the hand that I don't need you and vice versa and stuff. Basically saying that different parts of the body of Christ should not look at other parts of the body of Christ and say, you know, well, we don't need this or we don't need that or, you know, we're good by ourselves. We need to realize as people in the body of Christ that everybody has a role and a function to play and that we need every function, every role within the body of Christ. And so we should treat people as valuable and precious to the kingdom of God, no matter who they are, no matter who they are or how important you might think that they are by worldly standards. Amen. Amen. Be careful not to show partiality to people, for God shows no partiality. Amen. Amen. You can provoke the favor of God in your life by the things that you do. What God does for one, he will do for another. What God does for one, he will do for another, because God shows no partiality. I hope that this helped you today and encouraged you. You could see the same blessing of God on anybody else's life if you do what the Bible says. You could see the blessings that came upon people in the Bible upon your life if you do what the Bible says. Do what the Bible says and watch and see, as you'll see favor upon your life as well. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Well, I hope this blessed you, and me and Ben are about to record Wire to Wire, so if you are a sports fan, you can watch our Wire to Wire podcast where we talk sports. We're going to talk a lot about the Knicks today, but God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We hope you were blessed and encouraged by the teaching today. If you are between the grades of 5th through 12th grade, make sure to check us out in person at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Be sure to tune in next week for another weekly podcast from Uncanceled. God bless.